Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful. And now, here is your host, Joe Camara.
The Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, is brought to you by our sponsors, Consulting Task Force, the Ralph Anderson Group, the Clean Owl, and Higher Visibility. I'm your host, Joe Camara. Today's edition of World Wide Web is going to focus on an interesting business run by Del Arno. It's called TechSec Computer LLC, and we're going to be talking about tech in a sec. Welcome, Del.
Hi, Joe.
Del, since I'm a customer of yours, I know a little bit about your business, but I'm sure our audience would be interested in having you tell us a little bit about your business and how it got started, that sort of thing.
All right, well, we service computers and repair them. What we're really saying is that we're in the business of professionally learning how to solve difficult problems much faster than the competition. Formerly known as Tech in a Sec on Main Street in Williamsville, New York, we're now called Reboot Computer Solutions. And essentially, I was a former IT person at a large company. I noticed a lot of the problems we faced were on the individual level, not the organizational level. So I made the most of my spare time by showing everyone how to be more productive and what to do when pop-ups and ask confusing questions and other silly things kept happening that damaged their productivity. I would help them overcome those things.
So you did that within the large organization. You were helping individuals with their individual problems, not the corporate problems.
Turned out that was the best way to move us forward, was to help the person on the individual level and not pay so much attention to the organization, which seemed to be taken care of after so much work in the beginning.
Uh-huh. So how'd you make the transition from the IT job to your own business?
Well, first I had to make sure that everything was solidified and ready for the business to continue its operations without any interruptions, which after a certain point they stopped making changes. And for us, that was a good thing because I was able to focus on productivity issues that were killing certain departments or people specifically in the accounting, where there were tricks in Excel or formulas that weren't quite matching up or linking up to each other, and I would go and fix that, for example. There were things where pop-ups were a daily thing. People would just go through the motions in their dreams, clicking the same things away every day, and I would prevent those from coming up, and they had so much free time they didn't know what to do with themselves.
Well, but it still sounds like that's in your IT job as a job. What about starting out on your own? I mean, now you're an independent business owner, are you not?
Yeah, that I am. I started in 2009, 2008 area. In my apartment off the side, I would start helping people with their computers. I'd fix them, reload viruses. We would upgrade hardware and teach them how to use a computer. In a lot of cases, they had complicated problems, and I had no problem with that either, because for me, it was a learning experience. Once you know how to do it, you can add that to your arsenal of things to apply in the future. And for me, it's a never-ending battle. Every day we see something new. Every day I'm adding things to my arsenal. And even if I don't remember exactly how I fixed it, I remember the web page or the way I got to that answer, at least in part, so I was able to piece that together, and we're pretty formidable now.
Good. Now, it always takes money to get going. Everybody that wants to start a business wants to know how you got financed, so how did you finance your business?
Well, I saved a lot of money from my old job. I could have afforded a larger place, but I stuck with my old apartment. I was young, so I was living with my parents for some of that time, and along with that, I got a small $10,000, I say small, but 10 is relatively small when starting a business, to help me from my family. And with that, I've been able to pay the rent and do what I had to do to get off my feet.
Sounds good. What would you say your organization's mission statement is, or mission for your customers?
Well, it's a great question. I think the best thing to do is to basically push competition out with our knowledge and our the speed of execution, and basically to take the worry away from the customer, because most of my customers come to me thinking, well, you know, I was the one who did something wrong. I'm not sure if I'm in the right place. You know, why don't I just buy a new computer? And the answer is simply, without them knowing, because it is so easy to have it fixed, and it's not nearly as expensive as a new computer. And anything you think you did, I'm sure I've done a lot worse.
Well, I don't know. I've had some pretty bad disasters before I met you, so you can't be sure of that. So tell us a little bit about the products and the range of products and services you have, right from, let's say, low-end to high-end.
We do anything from repairing paper jams and printers to upper to IT and managing servers, managing the entire network remotely and in person. We do house calls. We do residential business a lot in great volume. And a lot of people say, well, why are you in a residential business? It doesn't pay as well. Well, first of all, we've just done it for so long that it becomes routine for us. We can manage just about everything that comes our way in the form of Windows or a virus or a hardware failure. And within 5-10 minutes, already know what we're in for. A lot of customers can have their answer within 30 seconds. So with that kind of edge, I can't help but at least pursue that and have that as my foundation. But when it comes to business and IT, it's always mission critical. It's always solutions that we're creating, not the individual computers that need to be repaired. Those do need focus, but it's always businesses looking toward the future who come to us, who are ready to change away from someone who is less adaptable, less adapted to seeing the next curve in the road. And that's what we are here for, is we read constantly about the cloud, new technology, like how you can really use a tablet for more than a toy, but for a productivity tool, and implement things just like that all the time.
Well, I'd like to pick up on this productivity thread, because I have a personal interest from a business point of view about productivity. My sense is that, and maybe you can either confirm or deny this, but my sense is that most people that have computers really are not using them for as much productivity as they could. They're not using all the tools available.
Yeah, that's definitely right, because as soon as you see something that is not mission critical sitting on your desktop, a small percentage of your brain, no matter how small, is distracted or questioning what it is and why it's there and if I should use it, whether or not it would be something that I feel like doing, whether or not it's relevant to my job. And when managing IT, it's important for the boss to know that distractions like that aren't in the work environment. And, you know, I see on your screen right now, you have a full recycle bin. You wonder what's in there. Malware Bytes, which is a nice tool, but really, wouldn't be useful unless you were looking for it. So I'd tuck that in the start menu. Office 2010, it looks like the thing that opens the rest of the programs. That's good. I would keep that there because it's relevant to you. Adobe Reader, the shortcut I delete. There's every imaginable distraction, which would be any visual cue that has nothing to do with your job, or in part just kind of opens itself and shouldn't really tug at your mind as much as it does, is something we try to eliminate for the individual.
Yeah, I can understand that aspect. What I'm thinking also of is the free tools on the internet. That, for instance, now I've migrated my calendar to my PC. I haven't. I've been using it in the past, but not as my sole calendar, because now it's linked to my phone. So that seems to me to be a real productivity advantage.
So what I use for this information is one is Evernote. Evernote's a great way to stack notebooks, basically, of your customers in a digital way. As I change my notes, my employees sees the changes. If they need any of the passwords or need any control over some aspect of that business temporarily, and or the scoop on a customer, they can get that immediately from Evernote just by clicking on their name. So that's a great way to get started. Then the other thing is Google Calendar, which you're probably already using. It takes your phone and Outlook and puts them all together. It doesn't matter if I turn on my netbook, which I maybe do every 6 months. It'll have an up-to-date listing of my calendar. And in some cases, if you pay for Google, the contacts. And then the other thing is Dropbox. Dropbox is very useful for managing your files, which are a little bigger than what you would put in Evernote. In my case, tools are everywhere I go. I have it on my netbook. I'll have them on my house computer. Every computer is Dropbox right now. So I would download that, try it out, see what it looks like. And for businesses, I actually implement the professional version of Dropbox, specifically for lawyers, medical offices, and for anyone with more than one location. A lot of these people just use their office as a place to work, not a place to do work exclusively. So,
good. One more question. We're going to take a short break in a minute. You've told us a little bit about your residential customers. Do you want more corporate customers, or are you really happy just dealing with residential customers with relatively small problems, not system problems?
Well, that's a logistical question, because I just acquired a number of corporate customers, and along with that, in my business, requires a lot of what I call, quote, squaring away time. Rectifying all the mistakes that the last guy made, or any, you know, terribly glaring maintenance issues that need to be done, or any upgrades hardware-wise, has to be gotten out of the way before I take on any more corporate stuff. Having trained employees to handle the residential, it's better for me now to focus on that segment while I square away my businesses. And then once they're taken care of and under a low-maintenance looking-after schedule, then I will pursue more corporate clients.
Okay, let's look a little bit at the future. Are you going to be developing any new products or services in the near future?
We're constantly developing new tools and products. The question is, do we have the funds, the time, and the ability in general to implement them? That, I think, is the biggest problem facing people like us. A lot of the IT companies or repair companies are discouraged by the limits of what's out there because they aren't developers in a sense. They just kind of know how to fix things. But there are tools out that, if you look hard enough, actually do match the business much better than the typical ones. Like you have point-of-sale systems to handle customers, and a lot of times a CRM or customer relationship management software that comes with those is not nearly as robust as it needs to be to do what we have to do, especially with all the information tagged to each one. So we found a program. I won't try to name what it is, but it does essentially track as much information as we need to on each customer. That helped us tremendously. That was a solution we needed to develop, but first we had to recognize the need. We have such discrimination with everything that has to do with computers, and that should go with every business, looking at every little drain on their time and thinking if maybe there's an alternative out there. Just ask a local tech guy. Within 5-10 minutes, they could probably rattle off a couple names that could save your company a lot of time.
Right, that's exactly what I was looking for, and maybe we'll be able to talk more about those.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more details. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Welcome back to part two of our Worldwide Network for Success, business station WWYNS. Today we're talking with Del Arno, and the topic for today is Tech in a Sec. And you've been telling us a little bit about your business. One of the things I'm interested in personally is your marketing methods. You said you get a lot of referrals. Do you do anything to stimulate those referrals or anything special in marketing?
The best kind of referral is always to wow the customer. I call it my shock and awe campaign every time I get a new customer, is to do as much as humanly, physically possible, mentally possible for the person immediately when they walk in. That impressive impression that they get is contagious. You know, once they have that, you only get one chance to make it, and it really does solidify your position in the market.
So
I spend literally no money on it, though. Uh-huh. If that's your question, yes.
Well, my hunch is that as you grow, your employees may not be as effective at creating that wow factor as you are.
That is true, and you know that's not a scalable trait. Scalability is always something you got to watch out for. But in the future, I found that mailers were extremely effective for other people that, that I was looking for suggestions from. They have these envelopes, Valpak in my area, that contains about 40 little cutouts. Ours was just one of them. I think back then it was 20. It didn't really make that much of a difference. People go through them all the same. It was very effective. For only $400, they sent out 25,000 or so. And this was important because it was geo-targeted. We went by town and municipality. We took everyone that was on the highway leading into our location and out of our location and targeted that populace. We hit them multiple times. They say that there's a rule of three with marketing. They hear your name three times, see you three times, somehow that sets something off and they remember you forever. So we did that. It was very effective. We had great ROI. Something I would never do would be the phone book, which is in a steep decline. I think we got maybe a 5-10% ROI on the phone book. So that's another thing. Being a tech company, of course, we had to go for the search engine optimization, which is a great free way if you know yourself how to do it. If not, there's plenty of people who do know the gist of it, and then web designers and marketers alike that can really boost your business, putting you on the maps, Google Maps, Bing Maps, and registering you with the free online services. Shouldn't cost you more than $300, in my opinion. There's some people charging $500-$600, and they don't know the first thing about computers. I'd quiz them a little bit about that to see if they know what they're talking about. But search engine optimization rose my name above another company who claimed to have a national presence, and they spent $150,000 on marketing that year. And I was above them for the same keywords. So they weren't too happy about that. And they sent me a cease and desist order pretty quickly. Being a company of three people, getting a letter from somebody who's probably got about 500 employees is pretty intimidating. So we quickly, within 10 days, complied. And now we're at the top for our new name, which is Reboot Solutions and Computer Repair in our area.
Great, great. Well, that's the kind of productivity I was talking about earlier, or interested in earlier, is the stuff you can get for relatively modest amounts of money, or free, mm-hmm. That's available on the web. Obviously, Dropbox, if you want to get it for free, you can, so on. Mm-hmm. But those are the kinds of tools that I was curious about. you know, you mentioned cards. Excuse me a second. Are you sending the cards out for new customers like the Valpak, or do you have a program to retain customers?
Well,
other than just doing good work, obviously.
The retention is, again, part of our wow factor. You know, if we don't have that to fall back on, retention circles around basically reminding people. Once we get a slow spot, we'll send out reminders in the form of mail or just calling, cold calling old customers, and they do remember us, always remember us. Having a personality helps to leave an impression on them, too. I'm one of those people that can relate to just about everybody in some form. That helps. We don't ever have a front-end sales team or any marketing team or professionals. It's just us. So that's all we really have. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, more or less. Again, I'm always looking not just for today, but for the future. And one of the things that I experience with small businesses is that they have lulls, and then they're trying to catch up because business is slow, and then they have to invest money in order to get a new batch of customers. And our view of the world is that a constant stream of marketing, even if it's only a limited amount of money or time and effort, is really the best way to go, because your marketing method, if it's designed properly, is like a Swiss watch. It'll run by itself for quite a while, and every now and then you may have to put a little time and energy into it to make it work better, but you don't have those dead spaces as much as if you know, use this concept.
Yeah, the dead spaces are a great way to basically, in my opinion, would be to design your marketing strategy and wait for the natural cycle, which are these lulls, to kind of end. In my area, when the nice weather came out, nobody was thinking about anything, literally computers to watches to car-related. I mean, nobody, they must have gone over on their oil changes and everything. Nobody wanted to do anything. That was because it was so hot outside, or it was so nice outside. In March, it was really nice. And these natural lulls came into effect. And, you know, I think Smoke on the Water was a restaurant opened in my hometown that actually kind of left a void of just business everywhere else when they made their debut. And just let that pass, but use that time to design your marketing strategy so that when they come around to think about you again, that the other guy doesn't come and grab them, and then launch it within, in our case, it's anywhere between, it's typically 3 weeks to 4 weeks in computer repair before people just decide, oh, you know, I'm thinking about this again, and it's time to take care of this.
Uh-huh. Okay. What are the geographic markets do you serve? Since you have a location, I assume people come in. Where do they come from?
All over the place. Typically, the town that is north of us, which is carried in through the 290, Tonawanda is the name of the town, and the 290 highway brings them in from there. Then there is Amherst, the surrounding town. There is, you know, the major city, Buffalo, is not one of those towns. They just don't want to drive that far. There's competition out there. They're not great, but they're enough to kind of bring them in. We could market in that area, but as of right now, we're just kind of saving the money to do that. We haven't yet.
I see.
Again, we're a young business, so.
Yeah. Well, one of our questions that we prepared you for was, since this is a worldwide radio program, if you got a call from someone in Utah, could you help them out?
I could, because we have remote assistance, and generally, you know, if you have any problem, we can almost fix everything remotely. I say almost because if it's hardware related, we're going to have to ask for your helping hand to assist and cooperate with our guiding directions, and we're very patient with that, and we try to be, and we can't let anyone feel stupid about it, and hopefully by the end of it we have a fixed computer.
Okay, so tell me how it works. I got a problem with my PC, let's say. I call you up and say, Dell, I'm having a problem. What do we do to get hooked up, you know, for your remote service, and what do you do next?
We have a uniquely quick way to make that happen. I registered a domain name called getservicenow.com, and that is kind of a snag on my part, because a lot of people couldn't believe that was still available. But instead of taking you to a website, it immediately asks if you want to download something. And again, for me, that's no clutter, straight to the gold. They're already got me in mind, so they call me, or I'll call them. And I'll say, go to this website, hit run, and you're done.
And so that you can, from your computer, then tap into my computer.
Yep. And, yeah, regardless of which computer I'm using.
Uh-huh. And then, so I describe what the problem is, and you can fix it remotely.
That's right. And the software I use is called TeamViewer. TeamViewer is a German company, and the most attractive option because they don't have any recurring payments. It's just buy it once, and that's it. Whereas LogMeIn and other services, Join.me is another competitor, ask for monthly or by connection service charges. That, as attractive as it sounds in the beginning, ultimately wouldn't have paid for itself as this had.
So TeamViewer, you install it, or I install it on my PC. I don't have any charges. You've already bought it, so I just get the use of it.
That's right. My contract with them is permanent, so.
Great. In terms of challenges that you face, every company has challenges or issues or problems. What would you say the major challenges you face in your business?
Well, you know, you got to get a good record keeper, a good bookkeeper. Right off the bat, on the first year, I wasn't as attentive to detail as I should have been. I kind of took the lazy way out as often as I could with my numbers, which if you know, the IRS came and audited me, that'd be okay, because I really would have everything in a row. It would just take me a bit longer for me to respond. But as long as you keep up on your taxes and you know, make sure that's squared away, then you have that much less to worry about. Another one of my mistakes that I made was hiring the right employees. A lot of times in a small business, they turn more into employees, or less into employees, I should say, more into friends or colleagues or partners. You don't let these people get too close to you, because fraternalizing with your subordinates really can lead to problems, and in this case it certainly did, because they can tell you a lot of things in confidence and
you don't want to know.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. When a new customer comes to you, what do you think they're most interested in? Is it price? Is it reliability? Trustworthiness? What do you think is their major concern?
Well, if they could come in and have us be the do it button, quote, then that's the best thing imaginable. They don't have to think about it. They drop it off. That's all there is. Done. You know, call you in a day. If they have to think about it, that right there is an unpleasant experience. They, number one, don't want to learn anything about my business, about computers, how I do it. Their job is to do their job with their computer. We're supposed to support them and make sure that computer works. Their job has nothing to do with fixing that computer. So we recognize that, and as soon as they know we're all on the same page, the happier they are, they come back. It's the same thing all over again.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Welcome back to part 3 of Worldwide Network for Success Business Station, WWYNS. Today we're talking with Del Arno about Tech in a Sec, and we're getting some keen insights about how to take advantage of his services. Tell us a little bit about your staff. What kinds of people do you have? You mentioned you have a couple employees. What are their most important skills?
You know, that's an interesting question you raised, because something that a lot of us can learn from. My employee, Steve, my right-hand man, so to speak, came in pretty much as somebody without a job, who was looking for a job, had no technical skill, who had some certifications in an unrelated field, and ultimately worked for free for the first couple days. I wouldn't recommend that for everybody, but he certainly won my heart pretty quickly that way, and I was training him. Now he's almost close to my skill level. He's one of the most loyal employees. He owes his skill to our business. I can trust him with just about anything. And I think he's a great asset at this point. But he's got a future with our company. And my family used to own a fairly large business, not to go off topic, which does not really have much to do with my current business, but their preclusion, predilection, I should say, for hiring was for those who didn't have a degree, because people with degrees have this tendency to think, well, I can hide under that degree, I can use that to get myself places, I can fool my boss into thinking I'm doing more than I am. That's just a tendency I noticed. It might be specific to my area, the schools I came from. But for me, it was always the people who were most willing to learn who were also the same people who didn't have a degree and wanted a career more than anything. And they ran the business. And they were so efficient and so good at what they did that I can only see myself running my business the same way.
Well, at the risk of an aside for me, I like to recommend to people they use the sports analogy. I think small businesses especially do a terrible job at hiring for the most part. But your idea of trying out somebody for free makes a lot of sense to me. And then if they stub their toe, there's really not much that is going to be a problem. Once they've stubbed their toe, they know either they're going to rebound from it and prove that that was just a one-time mistake, or, you know, they're going to be gone. And so I think that makes a lot of sense.
Those people that learn from their mistakes are the same who, you know, there's a great fraction, a great percentage of the population that people are unaware of who are so much more capable than their current job gives them credit for, and are capable of so much more than they have ever actually gotten paid for. And they want so badly to become part of a professional organization so that they can see themselves in a new light, so that they can meet their skill with application. And they're so hungry and thirsty and grateful when they finally get it that they become the best employees. I just find that to be true. And it's very underestimated how many of them are out there and who you might run into. And if they don't seem like they're any great shakes, you might want to talk to them a little more to see who they really are, because a lot of these people are also shy, which is why they're in the position they're in the first place. I would just encourage people to figure out deeply who these people are personally, on a personal level, and figure out what their hopes and desires are. And, you know, they often don't have degrees, and they're underemployed. And that's, I think, the majority of the population.
Yeah. Well, that fits into my professional athlete method for hiring. One of the things I suggest to people is that they do scouting. You mentioned you're growing. You're going to probably hire someone in the future. If you're looking around for the kind of person that you just described, as you say, they're out there. You just have to find them, and they're not always self-evident where they are. So if you're always scouting or you're talking to people who might know someone, I have a person that I'm working with right now that came as a recommendation. She's working part-time, and she really does have a lot of skills, and I'm able to use that slack time that she's not being employed by someone else to have me be employer. So it works out real well.
Yeah, and if any of the listeners are still skeptical about their knowledge level, so much of what they know is actually all on the job based anyway. How many people do you know who have degrees? You ask them, do you use any of what you learned in school in your day-to-day job? I guarantee 90% of them say no. I mean, language aside, you know, they're handle on the English language and basic math, but when you get out in the real world, it's a completely different place. Your college professor's never been out there in most cases, so you find out the hard way that there isn't as big a difference between the educated and the non-educated. And if you see that too early, you might be one of those people that never get a degree.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of famous guys, Bill Gates and our friend Zuckerberg are both guys that didn't complete their degrees, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
And they've done pretty well for themselves. Again, I want to go back to your future plans. If someone was listening to this program, should they stop in and say hello? And if they're looking for a job, tell you about it? And is it something that might come down the pike in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I got a pile of resumes to go through. A lot of them are people who would rather be in a factory assembling something else. But I am going through a lot of them. My location is here in Williamsville at 5544 Main Street. We service the Buffalo area. Anyone who's got a problem with their computer that they're afraid to admit was their fault, bring it to me, because I've done a lot worse than you again, and we haven't seen a problem we couldn't fix. It's always cheaper to go through us, between $30 to $130, just about everything you can imagine. It's almost for unlimited man hours on the high range. And when it comes to businesses, we're here to support the entire system, the network. We go into most of the computers in the whole organization, at least to control the problems before they happen. We're in the art of finding them before they happen. And we build servers and implement public Wi-Fi. Like, I put Wi-Fi in all the Arby's in this area, too.
So maybe you've told us your address. How about your phone number?
716-507-8424.
Okay, and one of the things that's good about radio is you get to repeat that, so that in case somebody's fumbling for a piece of paper and a pen, why don't you tell us again?
716-507-8424. And I will refrain from giving out my cell phone for today.
One of the things, since you're a specialist in technology, that I'm interested in is you've told us a little bit about how you use it. I don't think we need to repeat that, but what do you see coming in the future in IT for small businesses especially? What's, is Facebook going to become everybody's web page, or what kinds of changes and evolution do you see happening in the next few years?
Facebook might develop a greater separation between the business and personal look of their pages. There might be just a business Facebook.com that completely separates it, because, frankly, there's a lot of people and businesses that are on Facebook that their bosses don't want them on Facebook, but then they turn around and make the argument that, hey, you know what's for business now, and then they get away with it. That's going to change, for starters. I think there's going to be more secure Wi-Fi, wireless implementations, if people would just have a better handle on it. I know a lot of techs try to go the hardware route because it's the fastest, easiest, cheapest, but wireless can't be understated. More backup systems. We have on the horizon, and has been around for a while, but gaining steadily in popularity, a type of backup called the image. The image takes a snapshot of your hard drive from start to finish, and it creates restore points. So if you have a crashed hard drive, you can restore it onto a new computer, a new hard drive, and then even use that in a virtual machine. A virtual machine is basically the same as having Windows XP inside of a Windows 8 computer or a Windows 7 computer, just in case your old programs don't work. So all the old programs and all that stuff are being dug right back out of the grave and put into these virtual machines. And in some ways, since newer is not always better, it's always that's helped companies and customers alike achieve their goals in greater numbers. So virtualization is in the future. And then the last thing I think would be bulkier networks, because as more of these devices come out, and we have like barcode scanners, label printers, and each of them with their own network cable in some cases. So networks are going to increase in size. Last and not least, the OLED screen, which is extremely futuristic at this point, is going to hit everyone kind of like a freight train, I think, because it's not being covered enough. Is a transparent, flexible computer screen. It can be put in anything that's glass, that is in your house, around you, in your car, in your glasses, on your watch. It could be on your phone. instead of iPads, we're going to be looking at iScrolls. So be prepared for that. Businesses are going to be wondering, how do I control my storefront without any advertisements at night or during the day, whatever they want. They can make their whole front window a computer screen that turns on and advertises for them at certain times. It's going to need a lot of setup. There's going to be presentations and all kinds of new problems associated with this technology, which should be hitting the world sometime within the next 2 to 3 years.
I saw a keypad that sounds similar to your description. It was a flexible keypad that you put near your either iPad or some other device that you wanted to hook into. And instead of having to use the keypad on a computer, you would just use this keypad as a portable keypad almost.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, now they even have lasers which actually project a keyboard full size onto the table. You can have that technology in a phone, and you zoom in on the text, and it'll just be like a computer. Sometimes that projection applies to the screen, and it'll put it on the wall. You have two projectors, one on the top and bottom.
I want to go back to virtualization for a moment. Let's say I was interested in doing that. Is the virtual program that's the virtualization program on my computer, or is that in the cloud somewhere?
The virtualization is actually on the computer itself. You could put it on a server, which is in a sense kind of like a local cloud. Having that backup is extremely important. Again, with imaging techniques, we can make that even easier. Wouldn't be necessary with a virtual machine because it's already in an image format. But on the cloud, I know Amazon is one of the companies who allow customers to remote into working computers that are much stronger than their phone. They get a bit of bandwidth and a bit of CPU cycles dedicated to their session. It's almost like a surfing session, but for many it doesn't strike them as it being any different from being on a computer. That's going to be increasingly popular, but there's going to be a little bit of backlash, I think, because people aren't comfortable with having all their eggs in that basket. If it's in the company's server somewhere, you know, let's say it's a bunch of data that they absolutely need, and they're afraid one day they'll come around and charge them up to the nines to have their life back. You know, and that question's being raised in increasing frequency.
Yeah. Well, one of the trends I think has to happen is that all these free things are eventually going to cost some money someplace. I just can't see how businesses can continue to sustain the free environment that it does. Maybe you have a different perspective.
Well, free is in some cases great because free programs are often written by extremely talented retired programmers or someone who's a kid and isn't even old enough to work. Some of the best programs have been written by these people. A lot of the tools available on Nearsoft, NIRSOFT.net, come from someone who is, I believe, retired. But these are used by millions of IT people, and there's at least 20 or so tools I can make daily use of. Without them, I wonder if I would be where I am today. Linux is another example, gaining more in popularity because Windows is getting some negative reviews with the new Windows 8. They fear it might be a new Windows Vista, as far as the response might not be as popular as 7 was. And then last but not least.
Well, while you're thinking, let me just take a quick break.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network, the number 4, success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Welcome back to part four of our Worldwide Network for Success, your business station, WWYNS. Today we've been talking with Dal Arno about tech in a sec. He's given us a lot of great insight and maybe some hints about tools we might be able to use in our businesses or maybe in our personal life to be more productive. One of the things we started talking about was Facebook. Do you use any other social media tools or do you use Facebook at all?
We use Facebook not in the sense that people and most businesses tend to use it because we don't want people going to Facebook page. It's limited to their format. We want people going to our primary website. The social networking is great if you want to publicize yourself amongst your friends, but your friends already know about you. I mean, there's other ways to direct traffic to it, and it's great for businesses. But for me and my size, my preferred method would be to use the primary website. If you're going to go with Facebook, you might as well go with Google Plus. Google Plus will eventually, in my opinion, overtake Facebook because with Google's market might and their ingenuity and tools will ultimately and eventually overtake Facebook as the leading social networking site. My question is maybe they're not pushing in as hard as they could because of antitrust suits or other contractual obligations to their partners, but that's my prediction.
Yeah, how about LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is nice. I don't log on, and most people don't log on often enough to check messages. It's just another thing to keep tabs on. It will forward to your email, most of your correspondence, but I think it's a great network if you want to kind of make an impression on a new business client. But as a marketing tool, just saying I have one is about the beginning and end of that road, in my opinion.
I see. I'm looking into a program called Hootsuite, which is supposed to link all of the different kinds of social media network together. Are you familiar with that?
That I have not yet heard of. But social networking, see, for me, it's become a scary thing for people to fall into that trap because a lot of these phone books companies and old-fashioned print companies who are used to doing marketing are kind of using that as a way to creep into the digital age. And a lot of what they do and provide and say they provide isn't exactly what is actually provided. You got to use a lot of discretion and have a very discriminating eye for what they're saying to you when somebody offers you that package. The best way to go about it is to do it yourself or talk to a web designer. When I signed up for my Facebook page, I looked at the pricing and I saw that there was a business package. There's a business package for everything that advertises anything. It's going to be better than the free one. The ones that people use the most in my area, which I do make a point of asking, is Buffalo local, I can't remember this, Western New York Coupons, Great Deals, or something similar like that, .com. A lot of people are very local-centric in my area. So anything with Western New York or Buffalo built into it was a great way for me to put out coupons and get my name out there more than Facebook because, like I said, unless I was making Facebook my primary focus for my ads, it was going to be my actual website getting the hits, and my friends are the only ones that really know about my Facebook. And I encourage everyone to use their own website more than the social media and networking, unless they are really good at generating memes or they've mastered the science of memetics and or shock value and these things go viral, use your own website.
Okay, thanks, Dal. Every business has had some challenges that they have tried to overcome. What would you say the major challenge that you faced in the years you've been in your own business, and how have you overcome them?
Well, a lot of it was knowing how much the customer wanted to know. When it comes to repairing or doing your job, they want to know what you're doing while at the same time they don't. And to tell them one thing and not the other is an art. You just say, this is being taken care of, that's being taken care of. And as fast as humanly possible, give them an ETA and a price and forget about it. That was a long lesson to learn. But now I'm faster at diagnosing the issues, so I can give that to them right away. The other thing is, like I said, choosing your partners wisely. Don't be too nice. Gauge your time. You must write down every hour you spend, and then you can bill for that. And if you can't bill for that because it's something you made a mistake on and it's on you, well, then you might justify that the mistake happened in the first place because of a maintenance issue that the customer didn't pay attention to. Or you can say, look, I'm dedicated to helping you, see my hours. A lot of people, professionals, freelancers, don't keep track of that as often as they should. Another thing, keep track of your miles on the car. Always list your car for a deduction standpoint. And taxes, don't forget to file your quarterlies. And oh, and now they're cracking down on who's a 1099 and who's a W-2. So make sure that any of your contractors, even your lawyer, doesn't have a set a number of hours that they have to do each week. Skim over what the state, your state, says about that, because in our economy, they're cracking down on everybody, and this is one of the ways they're doing it. And some of the fines that come through my doorway in the form of mail are outstandingly, they're just outrageous and absurd in some cases. I think I lapsed on my workers' compensation for contractors that I had, which wouldn't even be really considered a lapse since they were contractors, but my workers' comp, it was $12,000 for, I think it was 60 days, and there's something that my payroll company didn't pay attention to because, you know, maybe they weren't aware that I had contractors, but things like that, you know, dealing with your government. And I should have networked a lot more, a lot sooner. Go out to more events, fundraisers, charity balls, networking groups. I think BNI is one of them. The Chamber of Commerce in your town is one of them. Things of that nature would have helped me a lot more in the beginning. And having that shock and awe strategy was better than slow and steady wins the race, because sometimes you can find yourself being too attentive to detail and spinning your wheels on things that the customer frankly couldn't care about or let alone notice, even if you know it's that much better. So those were
a lot of good advice. Tell us a little bit about your visions for the future. What do you see? How much growth do you expect maybe in the next 5 years?
If it keeps going, I hope to have about 5 to 10 professionals working for me. Hopefully 10, obviously, but the you know, they would all be earning a very healthy salary, handling themselves, managing the company, and taking a lot of the legwork off of me. I'll have a marketing guy, a web design guy. And instead of completely immersing myself in a project that has nothing to do with fixing computers, I could delegate to someone whose mind it is to do that every day. That would be, I'd say, 2-3 years from now. Maybe in as little as a year from now, depending on how things go. It's always a roller coaster ride in the computer repair. You know, lawsuits and things can fly around, and like I had to change my name, but, you know, something so small as a hard drive crash could be your responsibility, but everything could be on it. That's why I also urge people to engage in a well-written contract You can find templates online with your customers. Don't spend a fortune on a lawyer to reinvent the wheel. And as much as you can do, record everything you do in the form of... I use software that actually records keystrokes and motion on the computers. I couple that with a cheap security system. You don't need ADT or some other giant lumbering corporation to come do it for you. You can install a security system that can record what happens for under $200. Lumix is one of the companies with cameras. And just kind of cover your bases. And I think I answered your question.
Yeah. Well, one of the most important questions we always like to end these programs with is, if I wanted to get the maximum benefit with the minimum outlay of funds in my relationship with you, what would you recommend? How do we get started? What do we do first to make sure that, let's say, over a year or 2 years?
All right. You're a small business, and you have 10 to 20 employees at your business. The first thing is I'm going to notice some glaring problems, a lot of old computers, bad cables, network equipments, things, compromises, workarounds, things you shouldn't be dealing with every single day. And I'll do everything and anything, you know, including asking for thousands of dollars to upgrade this stuff and make it low maintenance and bring it to where I think a company should be. That's part of my squaring off phase. Make everything like up and running, good and working. Ask every employee on an individual level if they're where they want to be. Then engage my company, in a year. Yearly contract, paying month to month to make sure it stays that way.
Okay, great. I would like to thank Dell for joining us and giving us some great advice. Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of your Network for Success. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Check out our website, yournetworkforsuccess.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 716-634-7013 any time of the day or night. That's 716-634-7013. We do this every day, and if you want to listen to the programs that follow this, just stay tuned, and you'll hear another interview of another guest coming up shortly. Thanks for participating with us. I hope you have a good day. Bye. YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586. 575-737-8586. Or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.networkforsuccess.com. That's network, the number 4, success.com. This program was produced and directed by Your Notebook for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.